Aloha.
Hello and welcome. We're back from the BallerLifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. This is episode number 486 of the show. We appreciate you listening. If you would like to reach out, I'll give you the ways you can do that right at the top. Email, mailbag at theballerlifestyle.com. Just this, you know, this show, this show is often driven by the listeners. So the emails have gone a direction today, and you know, they went a direction last week. And it's a lot of times you can shape the conversation if you are so inclined. Mailbag at theballerlifestyle.com. Also, you can call us 949-464 TBLS 8257. Again, take it easy on the scatological language there, okay? Sometimes you guys catch me sleeping because you'll be talking and you're droning on and on, bloviating like my man Jay Stu does on the Bachelor Lifestyle Podcast. And I can't pay full attention all the time, and then some shit slips by last week. So let's take it easy on the scatological conversation. But do call us 949-464 TBLS. That reminds me, the Bachelorette wraps up next week. I've been doing it's Bachelor season, so I would encourage you. We determined that about 80% of the people that listen to my Bachelor podcast, The Bachelor Lifestyle, that I do with co-host Jason Stewart, about 80% of the people that listen to that show don't even watch The Bachelor. So it's been called a great white in a sea of Bachelor podcasts. You should check it out, The Bachelor Lifestyle. And also, if you would like to become a closer friend of ours, please consider subscribing to our bonus content. For $5 every month, you get all of the bonus topics that we do here, like this week about how people in San Francisco. Oh my God. I've switched back to the mechanical pencil. Big update. If you've listened for a long time, you know that I was a mechanical pencil guy. And then the lead kept breaking, and then it's like the spring action stopped working on. Ah, fuck. So I switched to a pen recently, and then I got a new mechanical pencil, and I'm like, I think I'll go back to the mechanical pencil, and this one works better, and I just dropped it, and the whole cap came. I drop, and everyone that listens knows I drop my writing implement at least once a show, and I just dropped this one, and the fucking little eraser thing popped out of it, and I can't see where it's gone, and now I can't, I can't make more lead come out. God damn it. I have a pen here. Might have to switch back to pen. But here's the thing. I already started. When I make notes, I write episode.486 with a little line under it. And so I've started. And that was in pencil. Now I'm supposed to just switch to pen? Oh, my God. I think it went under the little desk thing. Okay. $5 a month. You can hear us talk about people fucking in robo-taxis. You're not going to get that on the regular show. You're going to hear about the mayor of Tampa, St. Pete, finding 70 pounds of cocaine in the Gulf of Mexico and hauling it in and then narking on himself. All that stuff. You're going to hear about the doctor that jerked off in front of a child on a plane. All that stuff. The people that subscribe to the bonus content. Unlike that miser Telly, that last week I posted we did the show a day late, and I posted it, you know, like I do it a day early for subscribers. That's another thing. You get it a day early and commercial free and complete. And I posted it a day early, and friend of the show, although he's too poor to pay the $5, Telly Two Putt, claims to have 6 vehicles and gambles thousands of dollars at the golf course in Fort Collins, Colorado. He's like, oh, I don't see it, fam. And that's because he's a miser, because he's too cheap to pay the $5. He had to wait an extra day and not get the whole show. So you want to be a cheap ass like Telly, or do you want to be a real person? That's up to you. Click the link in the show notes and subscribe there. It's $5 a month. I am joined now, as always, by Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. I saw a story today that I forgot to include.
Tell me about it.
How about the Rays up and coming star being put on the Trevor Bauer list?
Wander Franco.
Oh, Wander Franco, wow. You're in trouble, buddy. You need to keep that hush money flowing.
Yes.
Or the eighth grader you're dating is going to post pictures of the two of you.
Now, hold on a second. No.
Allegedly.
Now, under no circumstances, update, I found the eraser to the pencil and I put it back in, but there was a little cap on top that's also missing.
Anytime you get put on the Bauer list, it's not good.
It's real bad. It's real bad. I agree. I am by no means should this be taken as a defense of Wander Franco, who should know better. But what all I'll say is
she doesn't look 14.
Well, no, that's not. I would never say that.
I thought you were going to go with the Luis Polonia defense.
Or
I met her at the hotel bar. She can't be underage.
Well, Lawrence Taylor hired a pro one time. One of the times I believe it was in your neck of the woods. It was across a bridge or a tunnel.
It often is in my neck of the woods. That dude was putting up numbers in the headline department. Yeah.
But he once hired a prostitute in a motel and went and got, did what he needed to do. And then later it was found out that the prostitute was underage. Well, how's he supposed to know that? He did a deal with the agent of the prostitute. He didn't know. But I'm not going to make that excuse for Wander Franco. But I will say, here's the only thing I could say.
Okay. Here it comes.
Where Wander Franco is from, this is probably allowed. And I know he lives here now. And it's not allowed here. But wherever he's from, and I'm going to guess it's the DR, the Dominican Republic, this is probably okay where he's from. That's all I'll say. It's not okay here, and I don't condone it at all.
You're right.
You know?
He's Dominican.
Yes. Remember, also, I'm not going to say he's dumb. And him being Dominican has nothing to do with him being smart or dumb. He's a very good player. But I will say this. We did a story a while back, maybe last season, of him.
A parked car, right?
Yeah, he was doing a rehab stint in Jacksonville, I think. And while there, he was staying the night in a Holiday Inn Express, and he left his safe with, I believe, somewhere in the neighborhood of $500,000 worth of jewelry.
Right.
In the back of his, including his
Cuban links.
Yeah, I think he's got a chain with like his number. I think he's like number 29 or something. He's got his number on a chain.
You mean the chain that the 14-year-old was wearing in one of the pictures?
Yes, that one. So look, and he was in a Rolls Royce. So I'm just saying, he's not the best decision maker. Now drum him out of the league, send him to Japan or wherever, the Mexican league, doesn't matter to me. I'm just saying this could be an angle that he takes. That's all I'll say.
Okay. Yeah. That is an angle. Yeah. It's pretty funny. This weekend, I saw the headline. Oh, they're just giving him a planned day off on Saturday. And then Sunday, he needs a breather.
Yeah.
Okay. He's 22 and he's having a great year.
Yeah.
Okay. So now he's got 2 days off. And then Monday gets put on the Bauer list.
Right.
And you're like, oh, yeah. And the pictures just surface.
Yeah.
Good.
And also they had the hottest start in the history of baseball, and then they've cooled to the point where they've been passed by your Baltimore Orioles in the division. So you don't think they're going to be sitting their best player when they're trying to win the division for two games in a row. So he might be sitting forever.
Yeah, he might be playing with Bauer overseas.
Yeah, he definitely will. I just the new season of Winning Time has started.
What is that?
That's the Lakers, the show about the 80s Lakers.
I watched the first episode and I was like, I kind of feel like I did this already. Like, and like, it's the little wink at the camera shit again. Hey, look, that's the name of the bus company. Like, just shit like that. And I was like, I think I'm done. So yeah. I watch one episode and I think I'm out.
You might be out. It's kind of like throwaway TV. You know, it's nothing that you have to get super involved in, but it is kind of fun to watch, especially when you grew up.
Yeah. Watching. If it was about the Knicks, yeah. I'd be all yeah, over
of
it.
Of course.
But like, yeah. I did it. I enjoyed the first season, but then one episode into the second, I feel like I'm tapped out.
I do like that they're all in on how much Irvin Johnson loved to fuck. Like they're not sugarcoating that at all.
And it just from the first episode, how they're still all in on how miserable Jerry West was.
Oh, yeah, I know.
They loved dunking on him. He must have rubbed somebody really the wrong way.
And like, why is he losing? Like, Jerry Buss is like, look, he's like, they're free agency's coming, and that's gonna fuck us. So we gotta overpay all of these guys right now because it's gonna be a fucking bloodbath if we don't. And Jerry West is like, what are you doing? We can't do this. We're not paying these guys. Are you fucking crazy? Are you out of your mind? We're not gonna. It's not your fucking money. You're collecting a paycheck too. I assume if the players are doing better, you're going to be doing better. It's Buss that's paying it. Yeah, what do you give a shit?
He's angry that like Michael Cooper is making more than he ever did.
Yes. But I do have a problem. I mean, the casting's pretty good, you know, cause it's all people, you know, but what's his name? Adrian
Brody.
Brody. I was going to say Zmed. Should have been Zmed. Adrian's mad.
I miss him.
I miss him too. I wonder what he's up to these days. He's a great actor. He's very good. He's been in lots of stuff.
Brody,
but he's playing Pat Riley. Pat Riley,
beautiful.
He's gorgeous. The man is so handsome. And I'm not saying Adrian Brody isn't handsome. I mean, he's got that big Roman nose. He's got a prominent nose.
He looks like Ichabod Crane. Yes. He works with that look.
Yes.
And he's a good actor.
He's great.
But Pat Riley makes me question my sexuality.
So, like, well, yes.
Adrian Brody does not. I'm very straight around Adrian Brody.
I saw Pat Riley in a restaurant bar. I was walking to the bathroom and he was walking out of it. And the man, it was like he had studio lights on him. Like he was just he's so handsome and so charismatic and tall that you just could, even if you didn't know it was Pat Riley, everybody turned and looked at the guy because he just has that kind of charisma. And I'm just saying, like, you got to kind of find a guy that can approach that somehow, I would think.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it would have to be, and it's not, he doesn't look like him, but it would have to be like George Clooney. It has to be someone that's just like, wow, he's really, there's just something about him.
Yeah.
Adrian Brody is just like a good actor.
He's a good actor. Yeah.
He's a good actor who mouth raped Halle Berry.
That was weird. That was weird. After winning an award for a movie that was directed by a guy that can't leave Switzerland on account of the... on kind of the underage raping he did back in the 60s.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about who may or may not have died.
Just tell us who was dead now.
Very sad.
And it will not be an update on who's alive.
Nope.
Let's get a tragic update.
Tragic update.
Cause Ed Daily has been keeping up on who just died.
Yep.
Cause we're about to hear from Ed on which celebrities are dead. So tell me who died.
Okay, before you tell us who died, Ed, this is something that's I just clicked on a while ago. I don't watch the show Big Brother. I've never seen it. It's episode.
Michelle watches it.
It's season 25 of it. I've seen it like happening, and it stresses me out that they're like indoors all the time. They shoot it like on a back lot.
Was when 9/11 happened. Yeah, they didn't tell.
That's amazing. But I've been seeing this headline, and so finally I clicked on it because the picture looks like AI. And one of the guys got kicked off for using the N-word. And I'm like,
You mean like season one, right? Like, no, surely someone didn't drop the N-word.
Like a week ago. Because it happens in real time, right? They like shoot it and it comes out that week.
Yeah, yeah.
Big Brother season 25 house guest Luke Valentine has spoken out after his ejection for using a racial slur. In an Instagram story video posted Sunday, Valentine appeared to be wrapping up a sweat-filled workout as he shared a rather cryptic message, seemingly feeling no remorse for the behavior that got him expelled from the CBS reality show after only a few days. The picture is really disturbing, first of all, because it looks, I assume this was AI, but this is a real guy. "Hey guys, just letting you know I'm alive. I've arrived and you got to keep the flame stoked until next time," he said. "We can't burn out. No, no, no. The fires of love will continue to burn, baby." That doesn't sound like
What does that even mean?
It doesn't mean anything. And none of those words are, "I'm sorry." So thank you for all the memes. Thank you for all the support, the kind words. And so then it talks about, you know, he violated the, it explains what happened. It's not the first, blah, blah, blah. But basically, he dropped a my N-word, and, you know, that's he tried to stop in the middle, and he kept it going. But then I saw, maybe it was on my phone. Oh, then I saw the names of the contestants, and it's like we're so worried that AI is going to take over and everything's going to be AI and it's not going to be real. And it's, you know, these people aren't real people and we're losing track of the real world. And then we got this guy and listen to the names of the people. The first of all, the picture looks like it's not a real person. And listen to the names of the people on the show, Ed. Red Utley, Hassam Goeli, Corey Wurtenberger, Matt Klotz, Jag Bairns, Cameron Harding, Jared Fields, and Luke Valentine. How is our computer-generated people any worse than these actual douchebags that are on TV? That's all I want to know. It's a wash at this point.
Well, one of those kids shares a name with one of those people shares a name with my son. That's so right. I have to.
Yes.
My son Jag.
I thought you were going to say your son Hassam Goeli. I don't know. You got real live human beings saying the N who are not in the privileged group that gets to say that word, saying the N word on national television, and then they're all just kind of hanging out in Hawaiian shirts and wife beaters. It's just like it's a lot to take in. That's all. It's a world I'm not into. Ed, who died this week?
We lost Robbie Robertson, frontman. Well, he didn't sing because he couldn't sing.
I remember specifically Howard Stern freaking out about this. He's like, "He's not the singer. You'd mean to tell me Robbie Robertson is not the singer?" He's not the singer.
80 years old. The band. Take a Load Off Annie. Good song.
Right. Oh, yeah.
The Last Dance?
Last Waltz. Great fucking movie.
Last Waltz.
Yeah. Good movie. Martin Scorsese.
That was like Thanksgiving night or something. They did like a concert before breaking up.
Yeah, it was their last concert.
Scorsese used him for like soundtracks for all his movies.
Great band. They recorded with Bob Dylan, Levon Helm. They were Canadian, except Levon Helm is, I think, from Arkansas. Just like a great American roots band, except they're Canadian mostly.
Johnny Hardwick, the voice of Dale on King of the Hill, 64 years old.
I heard he kind of became him. He was like a comic.
He looked like him.
He looked like him and then just talked like him all the time.
Yeah, like the guy with the hat and the glasses.
Yeah. How now they're doing a reboot of that. How are they going to do it? I think King of the Hill's coming back. Now one of the guys is one of the main guys isn't there.
I was never a big consumer of that show, but I do love Mike Judge, so I'm sure. And also, that voice seems like it could be replicated.
Probably, yes. All right, do we know what took him? 64, pretty young.
Yeah, pretty young. Cigarettes? I don't know.
Yeah.
Another young one, Sean Dawkins, NFL wide receiver, Cal Berkeley, great, 52 years old. He was on the Colts. Remember, like, the Jim Harbaugh Colts in the mid-90s? Yep. He was a good receiver.
Captain Comeback.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
Shelley Smith, supermodel turned actor, 70 years old. She's pretty hot.
Okay, hold on. I was thinking, I'm like, wait.
Not the ESPN Shelley Smith.
I was going to say, this isn't the one that...
Where's the Raggedy Ann makeup on her cheek?
And she wears like flowy gowns, even though she's reporting from Cowboys camp. Because you gotta dress for your body type, you know? So good for her.
Right.
But yes, this is, I'm looking here. This is a different person. This is not her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A woman named Roxanne Tunis, Clint Eastwood's mistress and mother of his daughter, Kimber. So you're thinking, we know one thing about Clint Eastwood is the dude
loves to fuck.
Yeah. He's even directing movies in his 90s where he's putting in threesomes.
Seven threesomes.
And so I was like, oh, who's this mistress? Yeah. She died. She's 93.
Yeah. Also, and this,
what the world's oldest mistress that ever existed, right? Well, mistresses, but mistresses tend to burn out early, you would think.
Oh, okay. You weren't alleging that she's his current mistress, right?
No, certainly not. He's got plenty of those, but I'm just saying, like, when you hear Clint Eastwood's mistress, you're thinking, okay, like, you know, she's probably 64, even that. Like, she's.
Yeah,
she was. But yeah, she's the mother of one of his daughters.
Look,
but his daughter probably
60
got an AARP card.
Yeah, so Clint Eastwood, 93. This is the headline from the Daily Mail. Clint Eastwood, 93, was quote gutted by the death of his former mistress. Was he?
Nah.
No.
When was the last time you saw her? Headline. Yeah. It said headline. The woman who he had a torrid affair with for 14 years. I was like. Nothing's torrid for 14 years. Yeah. It could be a solid relationship, but torrid for 14 years?
No. Yeah. It burns out. It's hard to keep that going. But also RIP Roxanne Tunis. And look, I mean, I'm sure she did other things in her life. I don't know that being a mistress is like really should be the first line on somebody's obit, but I guess if that's what you're known for.
She fucked the good.
That's right.
And the good, bad, and the ugly.
That's right.
She fucked the good.
That's a good point. Yeah.
We lost Magoo, the rapper, the frequent Timbaland contributor. 50 years old. Very too young. He had like a Q-tip vibe to him. He had like a higher pitched.
Love you. That one.
He had a good flow.
Yeah, he did. Yep. They were a big deal for a while, like in the late 90s, early 2000s. That was a big, they were a happening act. They sold a lot of records.
Yeah. Sixto Rodriguez, a musician, subject of the 2012 documentary Searching for Sugar Man, 81 years old.
Yeah.
So he was huge in like South Africa, right? That's the premise of the.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was like a lot of guys, he was, you know, kind of like a folk artist. And he recorded a couple records in the 60s. And then
it hit where there was apartheid. So he was like, all right, I'm going to.
Yeah. Yeah. But he didn't know that. He kind of burned out and his career didn't go anywhere. And so he was from Detroit and he was working construction. It's an amazing documentary.
It's a cool documentary. It's 10 years ago.
Yeah. So I'm not like spoiling it for anybody, but it turns out this whole time that he was fucking being a roofer in the Kalamazoo area, he was the fucking biggest musical act on the radio in South Africa for 30 years.
Yeah, people like thought he was the greatest of all time.
Yes.
He didn't even know it.
Yes, he was a massive, massive star in South Africa, to which I say, where were those royalty checks going? Like, I mean, you still get money if you sell records in South Africa. And he didn't know it. And eventually, and there was all these rumors in South Africa that he was dead, that he killed himself on stage. And just, you know, there was like this lore about him. And then finally, some DJ in South Africa is like, I'm going to see if this guy's alive. And so he just called and looked him up in the phone book, or I can't remember how he found him, but it wasn't hard to find him. And then they brought him there and he played like all these shows.
He wasn't pulling a Salinger. Yes. He just like didn't realize that.
Didn't know.
Yeah.
And then I think he recorded and played. I think I saw a couple years ago that he had shows around here. Like after the documentary, he had a rebirth.
He had a rebirth, but back to your original point, wherever the royalty checks.
I know, exactly. Wow, that's a dirty business. Yeah.
They're like tipping the cops who beat up Stephen Biko, Stephen Biko. They're that's where your money went.
Yeah, we don't do that here. And, you know, sometimes his songs come up in my Spotify. He's kind of like a Dylan-esque type of guy. He was really good.
Very,
like
he deserved to be popular. Of that style.
Yeah, yeah. He's a great musician. R.I.P. Rodriguez, Sixto Rodriguez. Great name, by the way, Sixto. There was only
Sixto.
Of course, we all know Sixto Lescano, the
second baseman.
Yeah, I think utility man. Maybe I'm trying to recall. I think he played for the Padres for a while. He bounced around, but that was the only Sixto I know before Sixto Rodriguez came along.
Immaculate grid. I have a feeling he
would. Yeah,
bounced around a few.
Yeah, he's on five or six teams at least.
And then we also lost Brian Randall. Actor and photographer boyfriend of Sandra Bullock, 57 years old, ALS. Yeah. That is awful.
It is. Look, I'm not saying that. No, I don't want ALS. Nobody wants ALS.
No.
But if you're going to get ALS, and you know, you don't know if you're going to get ALS. If you're going to get ALS, I think a nice... You know, it's not full compensation, but just a nice perk of pre-ALS is getting a few spins on Sandra Bullock.
Getting to know Sandra.
Yes. I mean,
was this the current boyfriend?
Yeah. Yeah. I think. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But they've been together, I think, for maybe like 10 years. And look, she's got.
Yeah, she was with that clown, Jesse James.
Yes. She's got an ass, and she's a 60-year-old woman now. She still looks great. She's got an ass like two of like the large cans of canned peaches, you know, just like firm but ample at the same time. I mean, I'm very sad for this guy. Obviously you don't want to die at 57 of ALS, but
he was handsome.
He's gorgeous. The guy was so good looking. I'm just happy that the guy got to live before he died. That's all I'll say. R.I.P.
Right.
Brian.
R.I.P.
Randall. All right. Let's talk some sports.
My name is Brian.
They call me the other guy.
I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I'm my own Troy on DVD.
And what is happening in the world of sports?
Well, there was a pretty good Netflix documentary that came out, and it's about Johnny Manziel, and it revealed he got the Jamarcus Russell treatment. Yeah. The Browns issued him an iPad, and
they put $100 in the back.
He watched a grand total of 0 minutes of film.
Yeah, you know, it's not a huge surprise. Johnny Manziel was a gifted athlete, not a big guy, but he was a dynamic college football player.
And it was a lot of fun to watch. The weird thing was it was not a sustainable way for an NFL quarterback, but like he was so much fun to watch it in college.
Yeah. But what we do know, like the guys that do succeed, they are physically gifted. But when you see Tom Brady come up to the line and look at the defense and fucking yell to all his guys exactly what's about to happen and who's dropping back into coverage and who's stunting the A gap, and that's not because he can throw the ball really far and straight. It's because he fucking looked at every play those fucking assholes ran ever since forever, and he knew what they were going to do. You got to do your fucking homework. It's not enough just to be good at football. You got to be fucking good at learning about football as well.
That show Quarterback that we've talked about, like, Patrick Mahomes, yes, has a fucking cannon and a half for an arm.
Yes.
But that dude is very prepared.
Yes.
Very prepared.
Reads the playbook. You know, he knows. He pays attention.
When he's not attending soccer games for the team owned by his wife.
Or throwing key parties, we learned last week.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jaguars practice facility have the most advanced urinals in the world. They analyze urine to let players know if they're getting enough fluids.
Baby's choice. It's a choice I made. Baby's choice. Watch me shiver.
I mean, this is... Ed, this could be a second career for you right here. Where you are the new hydration consultant for the Jacksonville Jaguars. You go in there, you check those urinals. Hey, rookie running back Tank Bigsby from Arkansas, Suey Pig, look like you need to up the electrolytes, player. You know, like, hey, it's some 6'7", 325-pound offensive lineman Walker Little, third-year man out of Stanford. Nothing on you is Little, and also great hydration, fam. Go get him. It's not a bad gig.
I do believe I would be checking out Tank Bigsby because, you know, yeah. he was a powerful running back for Auburn, I believe, not Arkansas.
Oh, but, sorry.
But I have a feeling he probably to run like that the way he did.
Yeah.
Feel like it's got a tank down
there. Well, the whole name. I mean, Tank Bigsby, you know, like Tank Bigsby from Auburn. I mean, you're dicked up.
There was a fun bender of a night. I went out like many do in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And there was one urinal that if you like, I think you like paid money, like, you know, put in a quarter and it would like weigh how much urine.
Oh,
and then we had a bet.
Oh yeah. A volume bet. Yeah.
A volume bet with my buddies and I won.
Whoa. Yeah. Really? You had the most
just
bladder.
I held it in the longest, I guess.
Fun bar game.
I'm not particularly good at, but I remember I remember there were pictures surfacing, not of the act, but like standing by the high score. Yeah. Like I had nailed the high score for the night.
I'm proud of you, buddy. That's quite an accomplishment. I would be proud of that as well.
Some holdover Northwestern football coaches played the victim with T-shirts. They took the field for practice and it said "Cats Against the World" with the number 51, which is Coach Pat Fitzgerald's college number.
Yeah.
Northwestern's AD called the shirts tone deaf.
Yeah. Yeah. Except he's fucking just as complicit. Like what was the hazing? I assume it was like gay. Like, put something up somebody's butt.
And I called this in.
Yeah.
My niece broke this story.
I know.
She's like the editor at the Daily Northwestern or whatever it was
called. That's awesome. Yeah.
She's a fucking rock star. But like it was so ridiculous how they tried to. Yeah, because I think the AD in the school was like I think they tried to be like, oh, yeah, he's just going to get a 2-week suspension while there's no practices going on. And like nobody's going to look into that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He was the only the head coach knew, like they kept everybody else there. And that's because it's a fucking business. They have a professional sports team that they're running for all intents and purposes. And they got to be competitive.
And remember when the players tried to unionize like 6-7 years ago?
Yeah,
it was Northwestern players that were trying to unionize.
That's right.
And Fitzgerald and company were part of leading the charge to suppress that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. No, fuck that.
It's one thing. Yeah. Make the freshmen carry the bags and shit like that. Like make them pay their dues.
Yeah.
But all this other weird.
Yeah.
Like weird gay humiliating hazing shit. Gay. Like what are you doing? What are you doing?
I know. And I want to say because Northwestern, like, you know, look, it's a real college and a real conference, but it's a smarty school. You know, it's never going to be a football powerhouse. So I wonder if at like bigger football factories, the hazing's worse, but I almost want to say it's probably run so much more professionally at those places that this shit can't go on.
I believe Nick Saban has no care in the world for like letting that bullshit go on, and maybe running off some prize 5-star recruit as a freshman because you hazed him with some like weird stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I could see it. It's a weird culture, and look, I'm not into it. I was never in a fraternity.
Hazing, fucking. No.
It's weird. It's weird.
Pay your dues. No, don't humiliate. That's fucking just lame.
Yeah, I agree.
The juice. O.J. Simpson blasted Henry Ruggs' 3-year prison sentence. Said the math just doesn't add up. Old Nordberg is still pissed off that he stole some stuff that used to belong to him and did a long time in the pen.
I mean, you're never going to hear me say this, but OJ's kind of got a point.
He absolutely has a point.
He got 30 years or some shit.
Yeah.
For stealing his own shit back.
Henry Ruggs.
Yes.
Nobody forced him in the day and age of fucking Uber. And also, like, you're a professional athlete. You call the team's like hotline.
Yeah. Yeah.
They will do anything for you.
Yeah.
And he's going 150 miles an hour and he kills a woman and her dog.
And her dog. Just 3 years, too, for vehicular manslaughter. You figure at least 5 or 6. Let's hear from OJ. Let's hear what OJ's got to say here.
Hey, X World, it's me, yours.
He's the only one that calls Twitter X. He's the only one on the planet. He just called it X. I did not see that.
I've never heard anyone call it X.
Never, and you never will again. He calls it X.
I know I went to college on a football scholarship, but.
Well, I mean, you couldn't read, so they weren't taking you for your.
Speaking of X, does anyone know what happened to my ex-wife? Still looking for the real killer.
How this math is not adding up to me.
Not adding up.
You're driving a car at roughly 160 miles an hour on a public street and end up killing a girl and her dog.
He's got zero self-awareness.
Hey, correct me if I'm wrong, but a dog has more value than a waiter returning a pair of sunglasses.
What kind of dog was it? Was it loyal? Because Ron Goldman wasn't loyal to me. He looks right at the camera when he says killing a girl. Killing a girl and her dog. It's like, I mean, he's got kids. His kids with Nicole are fully grown adults these days. And he's just not like, he doesn't think to just shut the fuck up. It's great.
And you get 3 to 10 years. You go to a hotel room.
That's right.
That you're invited to.
Preach on it, OJ.
Your own personal stolen property.
That's right.
Property I now have because it was ruled to be mine by the state of California.
It was his acquittal suit and some other shit. It all came down to two, because he said, don't let him leave. Or he said, block the door or something. Like, that was it. Like, if he just hadn't have said that, then he couldn't have been convicted for whatever they got him for.
Yeah, and then it was one of the makeup calls of all time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. She gave him the exact amount of years that he owed the Goldman family in restitution in millions. It was like he owed them like $31 million and she gave him 31 years, or it was the exact same number.
Yeah, I know, like everyone I know when that verdict came down, you got like the smirk with the raised eyebrows, be like, all right, good. Yeah. Like everyone knew that was kind of a bullshit makeup call.
Oh, yeah, but totally. It's great.
But it's great.
You know, the judge is, you know, Rachel Wolfson, the comic in the new Jackass.
Yes.
The judge in that case was her mother.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a weird connection.
I know. She's from Vegas. I thought that was kind of a cool tidbit.
You know, it's a cool tidbit about a famous parent.
Tell me.
Is, you know, when Randy Johnson threw the baseball that exploded the pigeon in spring training?
Oh, yeah. Kyler Murray's dad.
Yeah. Kyler Murray's dad was at bat.
That's awesome. I love shit like that.
What else is going on?
Phil Mickelson wagered $1 billion over 30 years, according to a book by famous gambler Billy Walters.
Now, this is one
a crazy amount of money.
So much money. Even to a guy that makes $100 million a year, it's too much to be betting. But this is a tough situation because I want this to be true. So I'm choosing to believe the word of a degenerate gambler.
Of a professional liar.
Yeah. This is like Bernard Goldberg telling me, like, I'm sure I know Phil Mickelson has a gambling problem for sure. And he probably has wagered way too much money, but I just got to take the word of a degenerate gambler about it. But I guess if that's who you're in business with, those are the people that are going to know, right?
That's true. And if Bernard Goldberg was asking, he'd say, you mean to tell me he gambled $1 billion? $1 billion. $1 billion? Thanks, Bernie. Now go back to tweeting about right-wing conspiracies, you fucking weirdo.
That's funny. Well, yeah. He supposedly has gotten his shit together. I don't, like, if I were Mrs. Mickelson...
Amy Mickelson,
former Suns dancer, Amy Mickelson. I'd be trying to get out of there with half as much as he's got before.
Because he's going to lose less. It.
Yeah, he's going to lose it. And his earning potential has peaked. And he kept it going for a long fucking time. Then he got that big payout from Liv. And he won the PGA championship 2 years ago. And so, like, it's gone on longer than it should. But it's not going to keep going forever. He's not Arnold Palmer. People liked Arnold Palmer.
Right. But there's a ton of people that don't like him.
Yeah.
And like she lived through the boobs era of Phil Mickelson.
Yes.
Before he started taking steroids.
And his alleged mixed race love child, not that that's important, in Ohio. And that's why he never plays there, allegedly.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like you got like it's going to go bad. You're not going to hear Phil Mickelson for Pennzoil anytime soon. You know, he's just
his Q rating is poor.
It's poor. It's not going to be there, and he's going to lose all that money, and he's going to be scrambling to try to get money all the time, and just take half of whatever he's got right now and bounce. It's the best. Look, have her call me. Somebody tell Amy Mickelson to call me. I'll help her. I've been through this.
Aaron Rodgers fanboyed so hard over Hard Knocks announcer Liev Schreiber visiting Jets training camp. Rodgers kept referring to him as the voice of God. Hey guys, did you say hi to Liev Schreiber? He has like 11 guys in a couple minutes on the show. Did you say hi to him?
No.
He's the voice of God.
No.
I mean, no. I love Liev Schreiber.
He's great. He's got a great voice.
Great voice. Yeah. Great pipes for all the HBO stuff.
Yeah.
And he's a good actor.
Very.
And my goodness, he had a peach of a ex-wife.
Oh, Naomi Watts?
Yes.
Oh, I love her. Look.
Big fan.
Anything you want to know about Naomi Watts is just watch her performance in any movie. Because she gives you everything she has in any performance that she does. And I imagine that translates to other portions of her life. She doesn't need a camera around to be emotive.
She's all in.
She's open to whatever. She's good at taking direction. That said, they've since broken up, and she's with Billy Crudup now, I believe.
Another handsome dude.
Good looking. I believe Liev Schreiber, who is in his middle 50s, has just impregnated like a 31-year-old former Miss America.
Wow.
So
Ray Donovan.
I mean, he is. I
using real bullets? But
yes. I know. I think they're married.
Rip up the plumbing, buddy.
I totally. Call Dr. Wiener. Liev Schreiber. Oh, look here. Girlfriend. Liev Schreiber, girlfriend. Secretly tied the knot with his pregnant girlfriend, Taylor Neeson, during an intimate wedding held at their stunning Hamptons mansion. Naomi Watts is married to Billy. They both got married within like a couple weeks of each other. This chick is, she's a former Miss USA or something, right on. How old is she though? She's young. He's like 55. I don't know. It doesn't say here. She's like in her 30s. Miss South Dakota 2012. I don't know. It doesn't say. She's young though. He's, you know, he wants to be taken care of in every way possible. Oh, here's a picture of her snuggling a raccoon. Something.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Put that on the list of things you'll never hear about me doing: riding in a hot air balloon, skydiving, sightseeing chopper. Hey, Bri, you wanna check out the New York skyline in a sightseeing chopper? No, thank you. I'm good.
I decidedly don't want to be on that chopper ever.
Also,
small planes where I can touch both sides. No.
Where you need
that to the show Wings. Yeah. I don't need to be on one of those tiny planes.
You need a headphone and microphones, and you still got to yell to talk to the guy next to you.
Yeah.
No fucking way. No. Well, anyway, look, Liev Schreiber, he's very good. He's very good on that show. It is weird that Aaron Rodgers is such a huge fan.
So 5 years, just this, I see a article from 5 years ago. So Liev Schreiber is 55,
yeah,
and Taylor Neeson is now 31. Wow. He was 50 and she was 26, and these pictures of them on the beach together, and they're both beautiful.
I mean, they are. How bad of a job did her dad do?
They must have so much to talk about, though.
Like, I got a daughter, and I hope she realizes all of her dreams in life, and I really hope that those don't include finding a husband who's roughly my age. Like, that would be there was something missing in her life that I didn't give her. But who knows?
True. Yeah.
What else, Ed?
Lucas Glover won the FedEx championship, but all anyone wanted to talk about was his ass sweat.
Yeah, there was a golf tournament in Memphis, Ed. And look.
Oh, FedEx, right.
It's August.
And yeah, it's Memphis in August. I've been there in August. It's very, very humid, very gross.
And these guys got to wear pants out there. And he was wearing... khaki.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Why can't the guys wear shorts?
Put some shorts on, and I'll tell you what I do. I powder up. If I'm playing golf, I put a nice, healthy coating of powder on there. And I'll tell you what, and you know, some people might not like hearing this. I'll put like a mini, like a travel bottle of Gold Bond in my golf bag. And maybe I'm like around the seventh hole.
You go into the woods?
If there's a restroom, you know, I have some couth. I'll go in there and I'll powder up my bag. If there isn't one.
I believe a friend of the show, Travis, said you start walking towards the pissing spot with your dong out.
That is true. No. Well, yes, that is true. No, that was emailer GFish21 that pointed out which hand I hold my dick with and where, and that I'm in the middle of the green before I get it out. To which I say, well, why are you paying attention? What do you like? What is it? Is it? Oh, GFish's choice.
Oh, I'm paying attention if I see somebody wagging the dong around. I'm paying attention. Of course
I am. I mean, it's not like I was Antonio Brown in it. But
yeah, were you doing elephant walk? Did you get your pockets out?
Of course not. I'm very low key, as I am with everything. And of course I wasn't. And occasionally I will repowder out there and I'll do it on the down low. And this guy. So what this guy should have done is maybe had a spare set of pants around, because he was wearing khaki pants. Or they were light color. Yeah, they're khaki or gray, maybe. And they look like they're that kind of like thin, like Lululemon type material. And this guy's asshole and balls and under his cheeks and sack.
I'm clicking on the, like, where's the, oh, yeah. You can
scroll down to the tweets, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ew, Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, the whole, just the whole setup.
Well, there's something about the material, because most khaki doesn't show like that. Like,
he'll absorb, oh, yeah, it's his whole front, like, all around his dick.
Yeah.
I mean, sweaty.
I do know the pain of wearing pants or shorts when you come out of the men's room. Yeah. And you got an extra drip that you didn't account for.
Well, I think I told this story one time, but it was years ago on the show that I was running to a meeting one time, and I just gotten coffee right before the meeting, and so I ran and I peed real quick, and I barely got in there. I was like, oh, and I was peeing in the urinal, and I looked down, and the stream had hit the straight to the back of the urinal and had redirected directly back.
Yes.
Right onto my pants. And I was like, oh my God. And I walk into a room full of like 25 people with just the hugest wet spot on my pants. And I walked in and somebody's like, hey, you pee yourself? And I'm like, yeah, I tried to laugh it off, but I was actually being truthful. I did in fact pee myself. I had piss all over myself the whole rest of the day.
I had a similar type thing like that. There was like a ricochet or something. Yep. And so I did sort of the Billy Madison. Yep. I took more water and like moved it to the side and go, sorry, I leaned against the sink.
Yeah. Oh, smart. Smart. Yeah. I think I tried to do that. I like dabbed it and I kind of like tried to make it like less splashy looking. So it looked like I actually spilled something on it. Yeah. I tried that move.
Right.
Yeah. Nobody buys that shit.
And a big story broke this afternoon. Michael Orr, the guy who inspired The Blind Side, alleges that the Toohey family made millions while lying about adopting them. They just took a conservatorship.
Yeah.
And the kids and the whole family got paid, and he got paid nothing for The Blind Side.
Yeah.
And it made $300 million.
Yeah. And they got 2.5% on the back end. And he got none of it. That is fucking crazy. Michael Orr, the retired NFL star whose life inspired the Oscar-nominated film The Blind Side, filed a legal petition to terminate a conservatorship on Monday, alleging Leanne Toohey and Sean Toohey lied about adopting him while making millions off his name. This is in a filing Monday in Shelby County, Tennessee. 37-year-old retired football player claimed the Toohey family tricked him into making them his conservators when he was 18, allegedly telling him there was no consequential difference between being adopted and entering into a conservatorship. Where does it say the money, though? Because their two kids and those two.
Maybe I'm just pulling this out of my ass. I thought I read that they got like 12 and change million.
Damn.
Or something as a family. And, like the mom is now like a motivational speaker because Sandy Bullock played her.
Yep.
And they like have a foundation where they are prominently using his name as like, hey, we're the people who did this. And like, I like Michael Lewis.
Yeah.
And I've enjoyed his books.
Me
I
too.
Met him. He was a nice guy.
Yep.
And his first book was about being a bond salesman. So I felt a connection to him early, when he did the Liar's Poker. And I met him. He was very nice. But like, he went to high school with fucking Toohey.
Yeah.
The dad.
Yeah.
And the dad, like, kind of just told him this story. And, like, it was a good enough book. But, like, there was always something about that book that, like, this family was so self-congratulatory.
Yeah.
And it was like, yes, the guy was not going to be playing in the NFL or big-time college football if they didn't help him out.
That's true.
Like, but
yeah,
this family was already rich.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He was, he played in the NBA and he was,
NFL.
Toohey.
Oh, Toohey.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. He played in the NBA and he was, he owned a bunch of fucking Taco Bells.
Yeah. And he might've had some sort of financial connection to the Grizzlies or something.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, he was the color guy. He was on the broadcast.
Right. So there was just, they were the rich family who took him in.
Yeah.
And like, if he didn't play a sport, I don't think that happens. But even if you even if that the athletic thing has nothing to do with it, it's like they did make a big payday off of this kid's story.
For sure.
And they shouldn't have. Get paid. And like, even if they gave him half, it would be like, wow, this family's kind of greedy considering it's his story.
Yeah. They're already rich.
They're already rich. And they took all the money and they're stupid kids.
Yeah. Yeah. And like to put the money in a trust for him,
care about him.
Yeah.
Or did you just care about like getting this generational left tackle size talent? Like I remember the recruiting and like all the stuff in that book. Like he was breathtaking size and athleticism.
Yeah. And they portrayed him in the book and in the movie as like
it's like a dummy.
Yes, and he's not, you know, and he's like, what the fuck? He's like, he made it seem like I was special and I wasn't, and he wasn't. He was, I guess, at the time they also made it seem like he was homeless, which he was, but he wasn't in the sense that he would just stay with friends. Like he didn't really have his own.
I think he was in the foster system points, but like it was bad, and he was he was not going to be playing in the SEC. Like he probably was going to have no career.
Yeah.
However, it's his story, and you're already rich.
You're already rich. That's the thing. That's the main takeaway right there. Is you're already fucking rich. What do you need his money for? What do you need to make money off of his story? But just
bring him in.
Yeah.
To the if it's one big happy family who she, you know, at draft day, the family was with him and like celebrating like it was their real son.
Yeah. Yeah.
But because he's not their actual son, he doesn't have a control of that, that story because they sold it because he signed some papers before his senior year in high school. He was 18 at the time, but he was a rising senior in high school.
Yeah. And it was also part of the reason that they had to adopt him was so that the dad could deliver him to Ole Miss because he was an Ole Miss alum and a booster.
Yeah, he was a huge booster. Yeah. And so
they wanted him. He was the fucking big recruit. Also, that's how that one dude became the coach. They brought his coach from the high school.
Right.
To Ole Miss, and then he eventually became the head coach at Ole Miss, and then we talked about he got fired or had to quit or something because he was, I can't remember what he was doing, but he got in trouble too. Yeah, it's a dirty story, and it reminds me of Lenny Dykstra. Like, anytime somebody's spoon-feeding you a story about a white savior, there's probably more to the story. That's, you know, I'm sure there are some very nice people out there, but a lot of times they're capitalizing on things too, and we should pay attention.
And the part that like stings for me personally is Michael Lewis has done good work.
Yeah.
And this feels like he did a lazy job of journalism because he went to high school. I think he played high school baseball with Tui.
Yeah. Because the book is very much like the movie where it's this down on his luck kid that can't look anybody in the eye. And he's walking down the street with no jacket on. And, you know, he doesn't know where his next meal's coming from. And he doesn't know how to, tie his shoes. And they like made it seem like he doesn't know how to order in a restaurant and he's never heard of certain things. And it's like the movie played out just like the book. And it seems like the book wouldn't have been that melodramatic if Michael Lewis had just talked to Michael Orr, who was fully capable of talking and explaining his life.
Right. A good journalist doing some good journalism.
Yeah, absolutely. That's interesting. We'll see how it plays out. Ed, let's do some emails.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring and worthless, but he's got nothing else to do, and he's even worse than Ish.
Poor Ish. Miss Old Ish. Got drummed off the show. He's a great fan. Used to send us quotes.
Bullied out of quoting us.
Yeah, it was really sad. R.I.P. Ish. Okay, couple voicemails.
Brian, Ed, this is Airstrike Brian O'Ryan in Houston here.
Airstrike Brian.
I was calling about the Pokemon guy.
Oh, my God. This Pokemon is fucking out of control. It's the biggest. We talked last week about former NFL linebacker Blake Martinez being drummed off Pokemon card trading sites for basically, it sounds like he was misrepresenting cards or something. So, I don't know. We still don't know.
Like our guess was. Yep. He knew what was in the packs, and then he pretended he was opening the packs, and it was like, "Oh, look how valuable this is!"
Yeah, yeah. Or he would get people to bid on packs and then open them like there was nothing good in them, but they technically he'd already opened them and resealed them, yeah, and pulled out the good shit. I mean, he's a huge piece of shit, no matter what.
I heard like an interview with him a while back. And what I think was happening, or what his whole deal is that he would open packs on the internet, but he would auction them first. So he would get people to bid on the packs, hoping to get something good in there. And so that was kind of how that was working. But I think the other wrinkle was that he would like do it out of a box of packs. So as he opened more packs, if he didn't get anything that was like really good yet, the price would start going up. The bids would start going up because people were like, well, he hasn't got anything good yet.
Oh,
you know, he's getting towards the end of the box. Maybe he's going to get something good here now that it's getting lower and lower. Oh. The chances are going up. I guess there's like a higher percentage chance. There's a percentage chance of something, not like $100,000. There's not a $100,000 card or something like that in every box, but you know, something good in there. And so I think that was going on.
And it's kind of like if you're, and I probably shouldn't have interrupted him because he was explaining it much better than I would. It's kind of like if you buy the whole series of 1986 Tops.
Right.
There's going to be a Daryl Strawberry and a Dwight Gooden in that pack. There's one of both of those cards. If you buy the box with all the cards in it, there's one Daryl Strawberry and there's one Dwight Gooden in there for sure that you're going to get, along with all your shitty Mike Marshalls and Dave Andersons. So it's if you're bidding to buy the box, you know that you're going to get something good. And so
like 80% of the way through opening them, he's saying, well, if you want to bid now, and then the last pack has got six, so let's come.
Yes, exactly, man. And it's you think you're going to get Pikachu, and it's fucking Manny Sanguian, and you're like, what the fuck? Or Bob Walk, you know? That's fucking bullshit. Mark Belanger. I remember I always get these Mark Belangers and it would say shortstop Orioles. And I'm like, Cal Ripken is a shortstop of the Orioles. How am I getting this Mark Belanger? He is not the fucking shortstop. And why is his Adam's apple so big?
I think they showed him the door when Ripken got there.
I guess so. Well, they didn't. They didn't show
Gritch.
Tops.
They're like, Bobby Gritch, you got to get the fuck out. We got Cal Ripken.
They didn't show that to the Tops people because I kept getting the fucking cards.
Or Gary Pettis having his younger brother pose for his card.
Yes, him too. Exactly.
For points at which that process could be compromised if somebody was trying to be dishonest about it. Anyway, that's it. Just wanted to shed some light on that.
Airstrike.
And later, guys.
Great. Very well explained, Airstrike Rhino. Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. Because we would have never figured that out. And God knows we wouldn't have used the Google for it. Here's another one.
Ballers, it's Miles Kennepick.
Hey, Miles Kennepick.
I'm keeping my voice down because I'm playing video games. Oh. Don't want to wake the wife and kid.
Well, okay, hold on. I get that you don't want to wake your wife and kid. But you're keeping your voice down because you're playing video games or because you're calling a podcast?
I think he doesn't want to call attention to that he's playing video games. I don't know.
Yeah. Because he doesn't want to be outed as an adult that plays video games. So he's like,
I will say I play video games. Yeah, I still do. Yeah. I only sports games. Yeah. I don't play anything else.
No Call of Duty. But he's like, honey, just don't worry about it. I'm just in here. I'm jerking off to gangbang porno. Yeah. No, there's no video games or anything.
But just want to talk about how creepy the movie Dig is, starring Tom Hanks.
I believe that was with Elizabeth Perkins, right?
Perkins fucked a child.
Yeah, she fucked a child.
I mean, she had to like teach him how his dick worked and stuff. Like, there's a lot of problems.
He said, "Do you want to get on the fucking top bunk with me?"
Right. Michelle, this was actually pretty cool. Michelle's office was the big building, and there was like, they were like in her office. There were like a few pictures from the movie. It was kind of cool. She like worked where Big worked.
Did they have that piano thing that you could walk on the keys?
F.A. Schwartz.
Yeah.
So I like that was a thing until F.A. Schwartz, where people were like, oh, wait a second, we don't need to buy toys at the most expensive real estate in New York City. Right.
Yeah.
F.A. Schwartz was on Central Park.
Yeah.
There's just no need for it.
Right.
But yeah, like I did that. I took the kids. Like it only closed down like 5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Whatever.
Well, that the piano key thing was pretty cool.
It was.
We might have covered this already, but
we haven't.
So creepy.
Yeah.
How that chick.
I mean, Miles Canapic, I love you, buddy, but your fucking voice is not helping the situation. I got to be honest. Like, I get that you're trying to play Call of Duty, but you're talking about a creepy movie and you're talking about how creepy it is and you're doing a creepy voice at the same time.
Let me tell you.
No, don't imitate him. You're making it worse. Oh my God. Okay. I want to hear this. This is good content. I'm interested.
Good points. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But the hushed tones are making it a little creepier.
It's a lot.
Take home an 11-year-old guy. She's like ripping a cig in a limo.
Yeah.
And he's drinking a milkshake. Yeah. Like, it's fucking weird.
Yeah.
And there's like an On Top reference.
Yeah.
And I was joking with my wife, like, you know, you want to be like all woke about fucking women's rights and shit?
Yeah.
Like, what if they made the movie Big, but it was like with a girl, and it was like the big actress of the time, you know, like whoever that person is, like the chick from Dune or whoever the fuck.
Sure.
But
Deborah Winger.
He's so creepy, and it's the movie Big is so creepy.
It is.
That's all I have. Love you guys.
I definitely remember, and it is, look, this is the difference between men and women, and look, or boys and girls. There just is a difference, and that's all. Sorry. But I remember seeing that movie and being like, what the fuck? This kid gets to fuck Elizabeth Perkins? Like, I want to be doing that. I'm interested in that. She's pretty attractive. What was that movie we did recently where it was Elizabeth Perkins, but it wasn't? It was just a fucking exact facsimile of her. They couldn't hire Elizabeth Perkins, so they hired an actress that looked exactly like her.
It was like her stunt double looking. Wasn't it Cobra?
I don't know. No, because that was Brigitte. It was one before
the other one. It was like the Stalker Channing stunt double.
Yeah. Oh yeah, she looked just like Stalker Channing. That was there were two versions of everybody in the '80s. So if you couldn't afford Elizabeth Perkins, you get the chick that looks exactly like Elizabeth Perkins. Also, Elizabeth Perkins was in every movie in the '80s, and it's no one knows who she is now. Like they just kind of come. Yeah. Remember, like Madeline Stowe.
She was in Weeds. That was the last thing.
She was in Weeds.
I think she was in Weeds.
Yeah. Who's the star of Weeds?
Mary
Stewart.
Stewart.
No. Yeah. Whatever.
Mary Stewart Masterson.
No.
Mary.
She was also married to Billy Crudup. Billy Crudup's really gone through him. He does work. Yep. Okay.
Mary Louise Parker.
Oh, huge fan. Fried Green Tomatoes. Yeah. Huge fan. Massive. She was in. See, that's the confusion. Mary Louise Parker was in Fried Green Tomatoes with Mary Stewart Masterson. Do we need two three-named Marys in the same movie?
It's too many.
Mary Stewart Masterson came into Soup Plantation one time when I was working there, and I accidentally, she was filling up those little, like, 1-ounce cups at the fruit bar with pudding, and I accidentally grabbed, she left it on the counter and I grabbed it and threw it away. And she's like, hey, I was going to eat that. And I'm like, oh, sorry. And then she smiled at me and I'm like, fucking Mary Stuart Masterton wants to fuck. See, this is, I probably got that from Big because I was like 15 at the time and she was an adult and she was with some dude.
Smile means green light.
Yes. And she was with some dude that looked like Anthony Kiedis. Like he had a long ponytail and a leather jacket and tattoos and shit. And he was all fucking cool. And I'm like, oh my God, the chick from something, some kind of wonderful wants to fuck. Anyway, she didn't. Here's another one. Wait, did I play? Oh, yeah, we finished that one. Okay, here's another one.
Hey, Brian and Jason, what's up? It's David in Salt Lake for work.
David, I'm not going to say your last name because it's you're just in Salt Lake.
Hang on a second.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian and Jason, are you sure this is for Bachelor?
Oh, that's for Bachelor. That, yeah, okay. Remind me. I'll never remember to play it because we don't play voice fails on that show. I'll save that.
Good. Because he cut me out of the process, so I assume it's not for this show.
I'm glad you pointed out. Our friend of the show, Janie Cowan, oh, she has a different last name now. She DM'd me the other day. She's like, hey, she's like, I got a layover. She remember she's the one that was going to invite us to her wedding on 311 Ed's birthday, but we never got the invites. She DM'd me the other day and she's like, hey, she's like, I got a layover in Salt Lake. She's like, should I go try to find David?
Start like, complaining to the gate agent.
Yes, and I go. I told her what airline he worked for, and I'm like, he's 6'8". Just ask for him. And she's like, there's way too many fucking gates. She's like, but it would have been funny. I would have done it for the show. Anyway, didn't work out. Okay, one more voicemail.
Hey, ballers. Mateo checking in with you.
Mateo.
I've been in my room for a while. So
newly
I thought
in Cincinnati,
yes,
right?
Yes, remember he was...
He moved to the big city.
He's a lawyer, and he's one of those real boring lawyers where it's just like he makes sure there's a comma where it needs to be, like contracts and shit. It's I shouldn't say boring.
It's important.
It's so fucking important, and it's such a skill, that kind of law, but that's the kind of law he does, and it takes the right kind of person. But he got a job offer in Cincinnati, and he was living somewhere else where they paint eagles on their sugar silos where Matt and Finlay, Ohio. And we said he should do it, and I think he did it because I follow him on Instagram. Let's see what he says.
Just update you on my status. You'll recall I was contemplating a career move and uprooting my life and family and moving down to the Queen City, Cincinnati, Ohio. Well, I'm calling to let you know I am now firmly ensconced in Cincinnati. Got myself a little studio apartment down here.
Amazing.
I pop back to the hometown periodically. My wife's still there. We got a kid that has one more year of high school.
I mean, this, come on. This is the setup right here.
This is it.
Goes home on the weekends.
Like, hey, yeah. I don't want to rush you guys.
Yeah.
I don't want to rush you guys. Yeah. Like, just listen.
Yep.
I'll come back and forth as much as possible.
I mean, he's listening to his Rush and Pretenders records. He's going to happy hour. He's got a little studio set up. I mean, goes home on the weekends. Family lives a couple hours away. It's just could be worse, buddy. Could be worse.
So we're doing that type of thing. But I'm down here loving it. I can walk to bars. I can walk to restaurants. I can walk to record shops.
Come on.
It's a great little neighborhood. I do plan on meeting up at some point in the near future with Katie Shady.
Katie Shady.
She's going to give me a little more inside information on the Queen City, and we're going to hit Motor Pub.
Oh, my God, I love this.
I will do a full review and have some pictures of the fun that happens at Motor Pub. A lot of live music. Should be fun. So, gentlemen, if you ever find yourself in the Queen City, you got a couple of fans, make sure you look us up.
Absolutely.
Take care.
Oh, Mateo, that's such a nice story. Also, that reminds me, I'm a little annoyed at Katie Shady because last week we discussed the Singapore caning victim, Michael Fay, and we learned that he currently works as a casino host at some seedy casino in the Cincinnati area, and I wanted an update on that from Katie Shady, and apparently she's not listening or doesn't know.
Yeah, I wonder if he's able to sit down properly.
Yeah, I know. He took four strikes with a cane back in 1993 or 1996 or something in Singapore.
I've got some breaking news.
Yes.
One of my famous Twitter followers might be reaching a crisis.
Oh, Ryan Phillippe?
Taryn Manning.
Oh, wait. Is she the one from Orange is the New Black?
Yes.
Yeah.
page six, Taryn Manning shares bizarre video about licking married man's butthole.
What?
Claims his wife wants a restraining order.
Oh, my God.
And fans are trying to do a wellness check.
Is
You're one of my famous followers. You can't do this.
Wow.
Taryn.
I mean, she's really putting it out there, Taryn Manning. Maybe you should reach out to her via DM, see if she wants to come set the record straight on a podcast. We could do it anytime.
Okay.
Can't hurt. Can't hurt.
Maybe even if she just wants to talk about licking buttholes, that could be.
I would like to hear that too. Yeah. Absolutely. It's a lot. Look, people do things in their private time. God knows I enjoy
doing. Record videos discussing it.
Though. Yeah. We don't talk about licking buttholes in public. You know, that's a very, very private, graphic conversation that I would love to have with Taryn Manning. Voice or emails. Ballers. Drew in Phoenix here. If you follow me on Twitter, you know I'm an adult child and I'm still a Pokemon card collector. In defense of my people, can anyone explain why collecting cards with cartoons on them is any lamer than adult men collecting cards with other grown men's faces on them? I agree. They're equally lame.
Well, I collected cards.
Yeah,
but I stopped at like
13.
I want to say like 88 tops. So I was 12.
Yeah,
think about that.
Yeah. Sounds about right. It's a good time to quit. So, like often what we talk about pro wrestling, and I say I was a huge pro wrestling fan, and then I turned 11. You know, that's a normal time. To give these things up, Drew and Phoenix, it's, you know, time to move on to adult pursuits. Maybe take a lesson from Taryn Manning. None of us are without shame. Anyway, being the nerd I am, I've been plugged into the news about Blake's breaks from last week. Brian did a pretty good job of explaining it by guessing, but I'll just quickly explain what actually happened and what Whatnot is. On Whatnot, breakers auction off packs of cards to buyers, open them on a live stream, and the winning bidder gets all of the cards in the pack. Blake's employees knew what were in the packs and used a sleight of hand trick to swap out the packs when they knew something desirable was going to be in them. Pretty stupid scam for a millionaire to run, as the packs in question retail for $5, are easily accessible, and only have cards with a max value around 120. CTE clearly reared its ugly head here. In the future, if you need a synopsis of 30 under internet topics like Adam22 / Lena the Plug. Well, you didn't explain that either. Was that when you were gone, Ed?
What?
It was. Some YouTuber, I think he has something to do with BMX. I don't know. He fucking shows up in my Instagram all the time, and I do not know who he is. But apparently he's like one of the biggest podcasters, and he makes zillions of dollars every year. There was a big outrage because he's married to a porno actress, and the porno actress had sex did a movie with a black guy. And it was like
What's the controversy was that he would allow his wife to have sex with a black guy.
Yes. Or have, I think maybe because of his huge penis. I think it was the porn star aspect of it, but she is a porno actress. See, I don't know this. I need this explained to me. And then after she did it, he bought her a Lamborghini, which apparently is what you do. I don't know. So that I still need that explained.
His porn.
I can't be, but apparently being a podcaster is.
They work so often.
I always understood. Well, now they have OnlyFans. So that is lucrative.
Yeah. Cause you're doing.
Yeah.
You're doing, what do you call it?
Yeah.
What's the tailor made? What's the haberdashery?
Bespoke porn.
Yeah, that's bespoke what that is.
Well, yeah, and it used to be that these chicks, they would do porno, but the porno was just like marketing for their sex work, because then they would come to your town and they would dance at a club, and then they give you a private dance and jerk you off for $500, and that's how they made money. But these days, they don't have to go to your town and jerk you off. They could just jerk you off through your computer, and you do the jerking, and they make like $100,000 a month. So it's kind of changed. Let me know before you record, and I'll leave a voicemail or record something and send it in. Okay, maybe he could be our, much like when we need something explained to us by a child, we call my child. Maybe Drew and Phoenix can be the millennial explainer for us. It seems like I've already got my karma for calling you guys boomers a few months back, because my whole world crashed down around me when I realized Post Malone is younger than me. Since turning 29, I've been having a midlife crisis about my age, and that didn't help at all. On the topic of Post Malone and trading cards, Post Malone recently bought a one-of-one Magic the Gathering card for $2 million and another for $800,000. This begs the question, how fucking rich is this guy? Sorry, my email didn't include stories about poop. Oh my God, I can't. Jesus, Drew. You know I hate that word. You fucking tricked me. Sorry, my email didn't include stories about that word or toilets. I know that's the status quo now. Seriously, Baller Nation, have some decorum. That is from Drew in Phoenix. Hold on. Wait. Oh, I switched the how fucking rich is this guy? I always fuck this up. Did I? Yeah, right here.
How fucking rich is this guy? I can't figure it out, I guess I'll try. Is he worth a billion, or maybe just a million? How fucking rich is this guy?
He's 28. He's got always tired tattooed below his either eyeball. He looks kind of mangy. I think he was on Joe Rogan, and I think he got on Ozempic or something, but he said he just quit soda because he's suddenly become emaciated. Actually, he looks healthy. He looked like shit before. Very bloated. He looks pretty good now. He seems like a nice guy.
Quit soda and he was emaciated? Isn't that soda makes you fat?
No, that's what I'm saying. He was, cuz he used to be kind of tubby, and then he came out on the as skinny recently, but he looks pretty good, and he says he got skinny by giving up soda. What? I don't drink soda. What am I supposed to do?
My soda has alcohol in it.
Me too.
So like that's the problem. Yeah. Like I just wish I hated beer.
Me too.
Love it.
I know.
Just wish it's no good.
And the thing is with the beer, because if I'm drinking bourbons, they go quick. And they hit you hard. So it's beer is kind of like a low barrier to entry booze rate. So you could, what do you do with the beer? You sip it and you get a fucking pint of it. So it takes you a while to finish off a beer, and it's 6-7% alcohol. So you spend 25 minutes drinking a beer, and you've just had a beer. You're not fucking wasted, you know? And then you can have another one. You have three or four of them. You're chatting with Darb and OC about the Metallica concert. But you know what? You know what else that beer has? 350 fucking calories.
Yeah. Last week.
Yeah.
I met my buddy.
Yeah.
In the city. Yep. Went to like the best bacon cheeseburger place.
Stop it.
Had a few beers.
Yeah.
And I on my ride home, I was thinking, if I got like a wish from a genie, it would be that meal would make me lose weight, or like that could be healthy. Like it was just a wonderful.
Yeah, it's nice.
A few beers and a bacon cheeseburger. Yeah. And it's like, I just fucked like two hour bike ride for that fucking meal. Yeah.
It ruined your week. It ruined your week.
Right. And it was delicious. Yeah, it was so the
good.
Best.
It's so good. No, I agree with you. How much money do you think this guy has, Ed? He just paid $3 million for two cards.
Didn't last week we talk about Pee Wee Herman being worth $5 million?
That was crazy. That can't be true.
Like that hurt me.
It had to be 25.
It had to be.
Yeah.
But I, you know, and it's going to kill me when I know how much bigger a multiple Post Malone is.
Yep.
I'm going to say he's worth 20 or 25. I'll say 20 million. I'll say 20 million.
Well, you're about not quite halfway there because Celebrity Net Worth says he's about 45 million. But what do we know about Celebrity Net Worth? They're usually low.
Right.
So that means he could have 80 million, 90 million. He's post fucking Malone.
Yeah, like he's famous, but like he's. It's just like, I understand. I'm as with each year I get older, I'm like less in touch. But like, if you told me some gargantuan number for Taylor Swift or you know someone else, but like Post Malone, he's like famous, but he's not everywhere in culture. Like I can't believe he's that rich.
Does he play stadiums? I don't think he plays stadiums. I heard Taylor Swift's playing stadiums, and I heard she makes about $10 million a night.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, she's the biggest musical act in the world.
One of the biggest in history.
Yeah,
at this point.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't really say. It just says he rose to fame it's basically his Wikipedia that we read last week. Well, it says he's got $45 million. He earns $500,000 per concert. See, now it says he's worth $45 million, but it says right here he made $60 million between June 2019 and June 2020. He has dozens of endorsements, even a new line of rosé, and he paid $2 million for a Magic the Gathering card. And also, he's 28.
That's jarring.
Unreal.
Well,
good for him.
As the great Omar said. What did he say? No, money don't have owners, only spenders.
That's right.
So he made that, but he already spent it. He's not worth that much
on cards. I can't imagine that $2 million card's going to be a $3 million card anytime soon. But what do I know?
No.
Fellas, so my son used to be a competitive Pokemon player. We have thousands of Pokemon cards. What do you mean competitive? People pay big money for promo/rare cards. Also, Americans like Japanese cards and vice versa. We recently sold a sealed box of Japanese cards my son won for $500 on eBay. I don't know what Blake Martinez was doing, but people do pay big money for this stuff. Now, keep in mind, my son was like 9 to 12 years old when he played. You hear that, Drew? He wasn't a grown-ass man, but there are plenty of weirdo grown-ups that play. I would be happy to be your baller lifestyle Pokemon content expert of record. Please tell me you guys are going to talk about the Alabama Riverboat Brawl next week. I think you could do a whole show on that video. My favorite is the kid that wanted the smoke so bad he came swimming up to the fight.
Yes. We talked about this last week?
I don't think we talked about it. They called him Black Woman. Because he swam from the boat. It's too visual.
I've talked about it with so many people. I love it. Like, there was somebody recreated the video with gummy bears. I saw that.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much.
I've seen, like, paintings of it. It's so good. Yeah.
The guy who swam.
Yeah. Black woman. And his mom was doing commentary, like, for him. Which amazing. Is amazing. Yeah.
And also there are like alternate looks where you just see one person just bashing someone over the head with a chair. It's the best. It's what we want in our social media and pop culture. We want a big brawl that you can analyze.
It's great. Yeah.
The lady who gets dumped in the water.
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. The guy just walks up and grabs her, just throws her in the water. It's so good. excellent job, other than the 14 minutes spent discussing the DMB shit incident in such graphic detail. LOL. Take care, guys. It's 105 degrees in Houston right now, and we are literally melting. That's from Matthew Thoughts Richards. Now, is that the real feel, Matthew? Or is that because we don't do real feel where I'm from. We just do the temperature. But you guys, it's so humid down there. You guys do the real feel. So I'm going to assume that's real feel.
That's fucking gross.
Yeah, it's too much. Okay, let's talk some not sports.
Well, it's time for Non-Sports segment on the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Non-Sports. I'm talking about the segment now. Non-Sports segment.
Oh. Ed, tell me, what has happened in the world of things that are not sports?
Characters from the musical, yeah, Hamilton are now on Roblox.
You know, Roblox is, I remember when my kid was a little, he played Roblox and, you know, this is some janky website. And I'm like, what is this fucking thing? And then like 2 years later, you're like, Roblox sold for $87 billion. It's like every kid in the world plays Roblox, and it's the stupidest fucking looking thing I've ever seen in my life. Are you familiar, Ed? Did your kids play it?
It looks like an Atari game.
Yeah, yeah. It's like blocks.
Yes.
Yeah. Lin-Manuel's already ruined Curb. He ruined Sopranos when I saw him playing a bellhop on an old episode. He ruins every fucking commercial. He ruins every day of my life because there's not a day that goes by that I don't encounter this fucking hack. And I need him to get me too'd, or better yet, he too'd. Hey fam, there's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show.
That's what we do with Easy Ed Daily and a man Jay Stu and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Talking loud, comments, conundrums, my brothers, reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all us. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller.